Briscoe and Bradshaw. I would be Bradshaw, and that would be the WWE Hall of Famer, Oklahoma's favorite son, Mr. Gerald Briscoe. And this is Best of the Best, where we go through the most iconic, the greatest wrestling matches in history and moments in history. This is certainly one of the most iconic. It may not be the greatest. Andre the Giant versus the Bayonne Bleeder, Chuck Webner. Are you ready, Mr. Briscoe?
I'm certainly ready, John, and you hit on something. You know, not all of these boxer wrestler things turn out good, and this was the precursor, I think, to the Ali Inoki fiasco they had over in Tokyo.
That's right.
And by the way, on this show, this has come from Shea Stadium, and it's setting it up, and this is not Andre's greatest performance, but you know, we both have met Chuck Webner, and what a fantastic person he is. And I mean, how can you get in the ring against Andre the Giant and have any luck against this guy? So we'll see. It's not the greatest, but you know what? Andre makes it work, and you can see some of the moves that Andre does possess. As I was watching it the first time, I kind of questioned the first round. What are they actually doing here? What are they trying to set up? And as it only goes three rounds, and as the bout continues, I can kind of see the story that they're telling to go into this last set ring round that they go into. So let's set it up, Josh, and let's roll.
Let's roll it, Josh. You know, Chuck Webner, as so many people know,
450 pounds.
Here is 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali, and ended up knocking Ali down. Whether he knocked him down or actually stepped on his foot and pushed him. He was an official knockdown by Chuck Webner.
3 minutes. You see the guy in the light shirt there? You know who that is, John?
I couldn't see it very well, no.
Well, that's the famous Frank Valwa. You know, Andre's first.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, sir, Chuck Webner.
He's a big boy, a big French Canadian man. He can break beer, too.
And Webner wouldn't have any of that at all.
Now, speaking of drinking beer, we just had the great Wade Boggs on a podcast. Stories in the eight, we kind of compared Wade's accomplishments with beer with Andre, and Wade said, there ain't no way I could keep up with him.
Wade had, they always talk about the stories of Wade Boggs, but 73 was the official total, the tally, a cross-country flight, because they looked on it from the record of how many beers they served him. 73 beers.
Wow. All
and right, he still batted almost 350. As a lifetime hitter.
As we can see here, you know, Andre got no gloves on, John. And like I said, these are boxing matches. To me, they're always one-sided. It always favors the boxer for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they set up the Andre match with Gorilla Monsoon with – I'm sorry, not the Andre. The Ali match with Gorilla Monsoon. You know, Ali loved professional wrestling.
Yeah, well, that's what he copied his gig off of, the late, great, gorgeous George Senior there.
That's right. And he tells the story, Angelo Dundee tells the story that when he saw him in Vegas, that's where gorgeous George gave him his whole stick. Yep. Tell him you're the prettiest. Tell him you're the baddest.
He told him, give me a robe. Give me a jacket. Give me those flashy jackets. And what I think is really, really cool here, watch how Andre is defending himself. I mean, you know, you got a big glove after Andre don't have it. So he just puts that giant forearm up there. Man, that's bigger than old 16-ounce glove.
Yeah, yeah.
Webner can't get through those things.
Webner gave me his business card one time, and on the back of it was and it's great because I'm a fan of his. And on the back of it was a picture of him knocking down Ali.
Having that big guy have you in the corner like that, I've been lucky and been in the corner like that a few times with Andre. It's a helpless feeling, man.
Chuck Webner has to be thinking, what have I done?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good strategy starting out. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. So these guys are just kind of parrying around and trying to figure each other out. I think the way they started it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I do too. And like I said, you know, after I watched this thing one time and what the hell are they doing? I watched this first round. And then as I watched it through, then I watched it the second time, I could kind of put together the story, you know, as Andre will attack him in that third round, as we'll see. So now all the attacks that Webner's going on the rope, so he's automatically making himself a heel against Andre.
Right. You know, Big Show boxed for a little while, and they thought he could have been a legitimate heavyweight. He had something happen. They had fallout with his trainer or manager or something, but he trained for 9-12 months.
I met one of his college basketball teammates. I'll get into that. But right here, I kind of question now. You know, John, that front face lock is vicious, and all Andre's got to do is kind of lift him up and start sliding that chest up over the top of him, kind of suck him in, and boom, he's down. Or you got that underhook on him, just fall back, as we'll see in this third round coming up in a couple minutes here, what he does with it. But I think he's just setting it up there, and I kind of questioned it in the beginning until I saw the end of it.
Yeah, he's setting up his final move because he knows what the finish is going to be.
And I'm thinking, why in the hell didn't Gorilla Monsoon teach him a little bit of stuff? Because Gorilla was a great NCAA wrestler, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Vince has to get in this Hardy thing promotion. He probably has that damn thing in his garage somewhere.
Well, you know, Vince was the promoter for the Evil Knievel jump over Snake River.
Absolutely. After his first bankruptcy, he told me.
That's right. I asked him one day, me and Michael Cole, and I said, how was it, Vince? He goes, as we say, it's an artistic success. Yeah. I said, so you lost your ass? He goes, yes, I did.
Yeah, he didn't tell me about the artistic. He just said, that was my first bankruptcy.
Yeah. A couple years later on our Raw or SmackDown, whatever I was calling, somebody had a segment that was terrible. And I said, well, that was an artistic success. God damn it. Stop it.
Stop it. He hates when stuff thrown back at him, man.
Yeah, he does.
Webner, I mean, he's one round with this 400-pound beast, man. He's out there dancing around. He's ready to go some more.
Well, Webner was certainly a tough guy. You know, the Bayonne Bleeder, they said he bled during the handshakes, the introduction.
Introduction, yeah.
But he was a tough, tough guy. You know, Ali was past his prime then, but he went 15 rounds with him.
Yeah.
I met him when he was a greeter at one of the casinos in Atlantic City. Just nice as he could be.
I met him shortly after this. I was going up there, and he was kind of making the rounds. He was doing promotional spot for his boxing match with Ali. And,
right there, Webner famously yelled, ouch.
Ouch, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, this giant just almost broke my neck.
Yeah, and I love that, too. Okay, Andre gave him a potato there, right? Now, Josh, can you back it up here? I'm asking a lot. Just right after Andre gives him that potato, and he says,
"Yep, I know where you're going."
Yeah.
Right there. That's where the potato is.
Now watch Webner come across, and Andre's just kind of standing there, relaxed, or let's wait until it happens. There, boom!
That was. Look at Webner. He's like,
okay, look at Webner. Now he goes over to the referee and watch this little sneaky punch here, right in the damn bread basket, Andre. Andre's not expecting him. Oh, yeah. I mean, he popped it right there, right, John?
Absolutely. And Andre knew right away. Andre knew right away, I better grab this bastard because he's mad. You know, I always said, Jerry, that when you ask a guy, are you okay? You're really asking him, how mad are you?
Hi, boss. I'm sorry, boss.
I think that Andre knows that he better be a little careful.
Yeah,
this is a heavyweight fighter.
No potato.
You know, Andre, this is what's cool about this. Andre was moving. He's moving really well here.
Andre, I mean, look at Andre's posture. He's not like he was, what, 6-7 years later, where he's all bent over and he's real puffy. He's really got it, you know, and Andre was solid. He might not look there. He's 400 pounds, but he's not all bent over. His head's up straight, and, you know, his shoulders are back. The guy, to me, Andre looks great in this film.
Webner claiming a low blow.
Low blow, yeah. It was a low blow, too.
It's such a bad match. I mean, there's so little you can do here.
Yeah.
You know, if Andre ever gets him on the ground, the match is over.
Well, he go, watch this. And there ain't no way you can tell me that Webner's not pinned there.
Yeah, he's exactly right.
He's pinned in any country in the world, in any arena in the world.
Yeah. And Webner had no idea that was coming.
That's some gorilla probably taught Andre. I was expecting a throw right there. I mean, if when those guys hook over the top of those ropes, there's nothing nowhere you can go then. Okay, is round three getting ready to come up, John? And think back in the beginning where Andre is trying to get him off the ropes and all this stuff, and Wedmore's hanging on. Now Andre's able to get him off, and he's able to work a few more moves and get him down, get him positioned that he wants him in, that Andre has the advantage in.
There was an advertisement for a brand new cassette player.
Yeah, cassettes, a dual cassette player, man. Those were the top of the line when you could get those dual.
That's right, because you can
record on one ear, or you record on one side.
That's right.
Webner's coming out pretty good shape here, too, man. I mean, three rounds, John, as you know, these boxing matches aren't easy, especially if you're not used to that kind of pounding there.
That's right, yeah. And Andre's laying on Webner a lot. Yeah.
And a little bit of Andre's weight is a lot of it. That was a nice flurry there, but Webner start the third one out. He knows something's coming. I think Andre kind of gets enough of Webner.
Right.
That was kind of a dud move there.
I always love when you have such a shoot match, you throw a working headbutt in it.
Yeah. All right, Eric, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Chuck. And Webner don't have a clue how to take a bump over the top rope.
Has no idea. There's no pads, nothing. It's a concrete floor. Nobody even told him anything.
No. And I he could have broke his arm the way he let. Now, what is this guy from Don King beating up Webner there? Is this part of the boxing angle here? See these Don King guys?
Yeah, I guess I guess it's all part of the Webner's working part of it.
I sure isn't Howard Finkel doing all that air.
kudos to Webner for taking this.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously didn't tell him hardly anything.
Yeah, did you see this manager guy try to punch on Andre? Looked like a damn mouse hitting an elephant.
Yeah. And look at Andre here. That's a work, because Andre never throws a punch.
No, never. And it just lays on him. Andre might be too blowed up to throw a punch.
Yeah.
And, we're doing this great trilogy. We'll see. This wasn't Andre's best, but we're going to see coming down the line perhaps the best match that Andre the Giant ever had.
Yep, that's right.
Anywhere in the world, but this one takes place in Japan. We won't tell them any more than this, but we're getting ready to come up with another one that'll show a little bit more of Andre's personality and what he was made of.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and all the stuff that you do on the YouTube channel and our podcast network. This is Stories of Briscoe and Bradshaw. Best of the best for Mr. Briscoe. I am Bradshaw. Thanks for joining us.